Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, hello. It's that time again, is it not?
Wait, what time?
It's Wednesday. You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Guess what tomorrow is.
Just go ahead and guess. Tomorrow is December 1st, which seems kind of crazy, and it's funny because 2016 has gone by quickly and slow as molasses all at the same time. But I'm really, really excited for it to be December. I am a huge fan of Christmas. I'm such a little kid, and I'm really excited because this year we actually have a little kid in our house. So it's going to be like super crazy Christmas this year, and I'm excited. So
Bring on
December.
I am re-upping Spotify, rocking the Christmas music. I've already gotten a slight taste from Coverthon that went on, was it this weekend,
I believe? This past weekend, American Thanksgiving,
yeah. Yeah, oh man, it's even crazy to, like, for people who don't know, as Canadians, we choose not to observe Thanksgiving in November, thank you. Black Friday, though, wow, we're going to do a big deal about that. Like, we're just going to cover that with everything we can. I didn't buy anything, though. I was pretty good. I don't know about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did. I bought a couple of Christmas presents, which was really, really nice. And then I bought a couple of video games, and yeah.
Oh, I guess I did buy one Christmas gift, but I guess it counts. I did buy one Christmas gift, so that's...
Yeah, I also I took advantage of Black Friday because my raid team is doing a Secret Santa, so there's a $40 limit, and the person that I got, I actually love very, very much, so I went over the limit, kind of-ish. I went right up to the limit, but with sale prices, so, like, the stuff that I got is, like, worth way more than $40, but I paid just a hair underneath $40, so I'm excited.
Yeah. I think it's like Price is Right rules. You can go up to as much as possible, but if you go over, then Bob Barker comes back from the dead and says, mixing a lot of different things there.
Yeah, I was like, wasn't that Jurassic Park?
Yeah, also Bob Barker is not dead. He is still alive. And I don't know if he's well, but he's still alive. I mean, his job was taken by Drew Carey. I mean,
yes, that I did know. But speaking of December...
Yeah.
I wanted to remind everybody that Extra Life is still open for donations right up until December 31st. So if you would like to support our Extra Life campaign in the season of giving, please do so. You can head on over to bit.ly/TGI2016 with TGI as capital letters, and that will get you to our team roster. Once you make it to our team roster, please make sure that you pick a team member so that your donation actually goes to the Gamers Inn team. But yeah, I just wanted to remind everyone that you can donate for another 31 days. So please do go and support the amazing cause that is Extra Life and the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. That's going to bring us to what we're playing. And Ryan, you've got a couple here, so I'm going to let you go first. Why don't you tell us about No Man's Sky and whether or not this big update that they came out with actually changed the game enough to make you want to play it? Because the only thing that I saw is people were like, oh my god, you can take awesome, like, screenshots now. And I was like, really?
That is the that is I think the icing on the cake for this update,
but there was cake, right? It's not just a little, like, bit of icing on your plate. Like, there's cake underneath that icing.
I mean, not to skip to the end, but to give people a taste of what kind of cake it is. Like, it's a delicious cake, but it's not like your first choice, and it doesn't change the way the cake tasted before. It still tastes a little boring in long periods of use of the cake. I feel like we probably should have gone with a different food, or not food whatsoever. Anyways, the foundation update was sort of a surprise. We got a little hint that there was going to be something coming to No Man's Sky very soon. They've gone radio silent for the last, gosh, I guess 4 months since the game came out, and I didn't want to skip over that part because I'm sure all of Reddit will hear us talk about No Man's Sky and then not mention the whole, like, I guess, controversy of a developer not talking about a product because of, you know, all the shit they've been getting. I don't know if you kind of know the scenario, but, like, they've been getting death threats and just physical harm. They got hacked a couple times. Yeah, the internet is, and you wonder why, like, how come they're not communicating? We just want you to communicate. And I'm like, I'm probably not going to talk to anybody if I'm receiving death threats. I'm just going to put my head down, make sure the doors are locked, and get my work done. Yeah. You know? And kudos to this development team to kind of just keep going and building on the game and not letting the haters sort of, like when they say, like, oh, they probably took the money and run. And that's not the case. This is actually a pretty significant update. And if you enjoyed the base mechanics, and when I say base, I mean like the core mechanics of the original game, this is an extension and, you know, a lifting up of those core mechanics. Like, you're still going from planet to planet. You're still mining. You're still, I don't know what the point of the game is. I think the point of the game is there is no point. So I've kind of gotten into that trap where
like the anti-Jocelyn game, basically.
Yeah, and should pretty much be the anti-Ryan game as well, because, and I think that's why I stopped playing. I looked at my saves. When you actually load the update up, it says, okay, you have three choices now. You can load your normal save. You can load a creative save, which basically increases the amount of resources you can collect and decreases the danger of the game, so you can just solely focus on creating your base and whatnot. And then there's a survival mode, which is the super anti-Ryan mode, which takes those survival games and really ramps up those mechanics in the game. It took me 2 to 3 hours to get off the main planet in survival mode. But have you ever seen The Martian?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically it's that, the game.
Okay.
And to be honest, like, I know a lot of people will probably latch onto this mode and be like, this is what I'm going to play forever. Because a lot of people complain they never died. Mm-hmm. I died 12 times before I got off the planet. And to give a little context, because I know we hadn't talked about this since August. When you get off the planet in the normal mode, you basically find a couple things, cobble them together, and you're off the planet. And you'd maybe die once just because you don't know what you're doing. But if you kind of have an idea, you can pretty much just straight shot 30 minutes, you're up in the sky. So the fact that it took me 4 times that amount and kind of died a bunch is a testament to how they've created this mode. And that's not to say the mode is for everybody. I certainly wouldn't recommend it to people who don't like that style of play. But it felt like The Martian. Like, I was like collecting resources to be able to make the trek from one point on the map to the other, because your spaceship's like 15 minutes away at walk. And you'd have to kind of like find shelter, because of course the planet you land on has like acid rain or something, which is like...
Of course.
Man, you know, just trying to enjoy this game, have me, right? And it was just interesting, you know, having to constantly manage sort of the resources to build, to like replenish my shield as I walk across the planet. And it felt very much like The Martian, where I'm like, okay, if I'm got a 15 minute walk and it takes, you know, it's like 6 hours to sundown in game time, I need to make sure I have enough shielding to get to the next point of shelter so this acid rain doesn't melt my face off. But that being said, I've checked it off my list. I don't need to play that anymore. I got off the planet. I played around a bit. I actually got off the planet and then was instantly shot down by pirates. And I'm like, okay, that's survival mode.
All right, so, yeah.
Gotta move on.
Never have to do this again. Perfect.
Exactly. And for a lot of people, I know people who enjoy these open world survival games, and I've certainly railed on them before. They're not my cup of tea. And I think a lot of people will enjoy that mode, because I know some people who are just looking for things to complain about in this game is the difficulty. They thought it was too easy. So there you go. Don't complain anymore about it being too easy, because this is difficult. But the main meat of it is the base building. So they've added this... It looks to be just base building, but it's actually a more well-thought-out campaign. So it's not that this is a means to beat the game.
I was going to say, okay, hang on.
Okay,
so yeah. is this like you have your home planet and you mm-hmm. build a shelter and you slowly add on to it? Or is this like actually some sort of a story built in the universe?
So you still don't get a story. So you are right to stop me. There is no story unless that story is recruiting a ragtag team of 4 random aliens and then building a rad base, totally rad base. It's not a story. It's more of what's the word? It's definitely linear. It's a linear fetch quest campaign. Campaign's the wrong word. It's sort of just a list of things to do to get you to do something besides just hopping from planet to planet. It's you first you recruit your you find your home planet, so you find a planet you like, and I'm like, okay, I would like this to be a planet that I come back to whenever I want. Because that was one of the main issues with the main game, was that you'd find these awesome planets and be like, this is cool, but there's no reason for me to stay here, even if I wanted to come back.
Well, and I thought the whole idea of the game was to basically try to get to the center of the universe. So isn't building a base kind of counterintuitive for whatever the main game was supposed to be? Or was the main game just that shitty? They're like, just forget about that. Just explore your immediate solar system and don't even worry about the bazillions of planets that we have procedurally generated.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, some have seen it as sort of a fly in the face of like, well, this goes against your original idea of, you know, explore. But you know what? A game, and it's good that companies can pivot. Like, I mean, vocal internet communities may not like sort of the adjustment and away from that, but honestly, I mean, in a universe where light speed and warp jumping and all that fun stuff, like, pretty sure we could like slip teleportation in there without it being a big deal, you know. But I agree with you. I would have rather them do something where they, before base building, added a layer to the planet hopping that made more sense. So as I've been playing more, the update launched Sunday and I've kind of been playing every night, you know, kind of coming back into that routine that I originally had when I played the game. And I find, okay, when I'm not base building or trying to find some random thing for one of my, I don't know what they call them, terminal buddies. I don't know what they call them, aliens. They're in my base. I don't know who they are. I just pay them to be there. They're my paid internet friends. I don't know. Okay. Paid alien friends. I don't know. They like me. This is the main thing. They really like me. But so when I'm hopping around trying to find things for them, you go back into that mindset of just having to explore. And it's the same. They haven't touched that. Like, you're still, you know, either blindly trying to make it to the center of the universe or blindly trying to follow these atlases, which, you know, gives you a bit more story, but it's kind of just convoluted text. So it doesn't fix the main issues I had with the game that sort of made me fall off initially. And I'm actually experiencing that now, where I was playing tonight before the show and I'm like, you know, I just found the Gex charm and the something knife for the guy, and they're all happy and they've given me another quest to do, but it's just, it's more run off and find me this thing and come back. But, you know, in terms of an addition, this is only what I've experienced. Like, they've added freighters as well, so you can, like, warp in a freighter and then, like, transfer all the stuff you find on a planet, which is immensely helpful considering that game basically turned into an inventory management system.
Yeah.
But there's 7 million credits and I've never had more than a million. So I don't know where people are getting money. I don't want to Google it because I feel like that would defeat the purpose of the game.
I think it's probably just playing the game, right? Yeah. Like, you played it for a very short amount of time when it first came out, and now you've played it even like since Sunday. That's what, three nights, four nights gameplay. So I mean, like, if you're making $250,000 in a night of playtime, then I feel like that's probably a standard for the economy. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people who have been playing since
Well,
I'm sure that there's some people who have been playing since launch who have amassed large fortunes and can afford freighters and things like that. But it's probably not meant for basically everyday use.
No. And the cool thing about freighters is they were always in the game. You just couldn't like go onto them and you couldn't own them. And you don't really own them. You're more like, I guess, you don't rent them, but they don't become your, like, you don't buy the ship. You kind of just say, hey, you're hired, but indefinitely. It's more of a, like a story thing as opposed to you actually own it. But it's cool. Like, you'll warp in. I warped in once, and as opposed to just seeing like either an atlas or an anomaly that I could land on or a bunch of planets, it'd be this like fleet of freighters. And all of a sudden it's like freighters under attack, and there's pirates and there's sentinels sort of protecting the freighter. And you can choose whether to attack the sentinels and raid the raider or raid the freighter, or you can protect the freighter and then you go on board and you kind of receive a reward. And when you do actually buy a freighter, eventually you can create your base. You can create a separate base on the freighter and have more people there. So it's an interesting addition. It's called the Foundation update for a reason. They're saying this is the first of many free content updates, and this is laying sort of the groundwork. It's definitely a good first go at it in terms of 4 months of development for this kind of update and for free. I know a lot of people might say like this is something that should have been in there from the beginning, but
that's why it's free. I mean, really.
Yeah, that's why it's free. Like, if they had charged for it, then, you know, I think that we'd have an issue. But because it's free, it's kind of like, this is something we wanted in there. And it's a lot. There's a lot here. There's new resources. There's new building mechanics. I just unlocked farming, and that looks to be the biggest portion of this update, where you can kind of just create a biosphere of different alien plant life and use those and harvest them. So I'm still interested. I'm still going through it. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes and when I hit that wall. But I'm kind of hoping that it, you know, pushes me to go further in the game and kind of discover some of those late game things.
I was going to say, I feel like late game and story content are the things that are keeping me out of this title. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like if they just took, like, some arbitrary boundaries, like even if it started in the center of the universe and just like went out in a like star, like made five big pie shapes and then said like, this zone is, you know, this affiliation and this zone is this affiliation, and by you exploring and meeting new groups of people and aliens and everything else, maybe you like prevent a galactic war or something. Mm-hmm. And you could like be super involved in that or not. And if you just want to explore and gather and do that kind of stuff, then maybe it erupts in war around you, and then that makes your space travel more interesting. And you know, like I just feel like even what seems like, and I know that that's a lot of mechanics, and it's always so easy to like backseat develop games.
Yeah,
but I mean, like if that kind of level of story was put into the game, I feel like that would just give me more reason to go in and do it. Like now, I feel like there's no real reason to be in there. And it's funny because Jim is mentioning it in the chat room. Stardew Valley is very similar. There's no real like story. Like there's a little bit of a story, but that's mostly just to get you to your farm. And then you kind of like go and meet the people, but at least they have interesting stories and personalities and stuff. But maybe that's the problem, is exploring and just discovering new things that kind of look funny or pretty or weird. Like that's not enough to sustain me, as like opposed to going and talking to a person every day and learning more about them and developing a friendship. Like at least that is a bit of a story. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like this game just has no interest like for me at all. Like there's literally nothing that I hear about this game that makes me go like, oh, maybe I should give that a second look. It's like everything I hear, people are like, oh yeah, big update, you can take screenshots now. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. There are problems with this game. One of the biggest problems is that there's not that captivating experience in the game that a lot of us gamers really crave. And that's some sort of campaign, some sort of story, some sort of meaning. And when there's a lack of that campaign, meaning, story, it is made up for with multiplayer. It is made up for, like you look at other survival games, a lot of those survival games are either billed as a sandbox and they are smaller experiences, or they're billed as something you can play with your friends, like Ark. You know, Ark is huge because there's multiplayer and there's lots to do.
You can build like fortresses with your friends, and you can make guilds, and you can, you know, like all that kind of stuff. You're right. I think the ability to play with friends, like if everyone I knew was constantly like in No Man's Sky flying around trying to get resources, and you know, like, oh, we need 10,000 stones.
Yeah.
then I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go and gather some stones and, you know, like help out my friends. And then we'll have a super cool base. And then maybe we can, again, like launch a war against a neighboring base or something. Yeah. But the fact that you can't even see anybody in the game, it's just like, you, it not only does it not have that play with your friends vibe, but it doesn't have a play with anybody vibe. But then it also doesn't have a single player experience. Like, yeah, it's just an empty world right now. And
exactly.
And that's not my kind of gameplay experience. But the space game that does have a really awesome multiplayer and play with your friends experience is StarCraft II. Right. And I'm interested because this is now the third mission pack for Nova that's come out, and I've never played them, but you seem to be all over them every time they come out. So tell me about Covert Ops Mission Pack 3.
So this is the final of three mission packs. So if you go out and purchase the $14.99 US dollar mission pack, which I highly recommend because it's a lot of fun and it's the only way to tell Blizzard, hey, more campaign content. Unfortunately, buying loot boxes isn't going to convince them. There was a story out there that maybe it might have convinced them. But anyways, StarCraft II, this is the third and final pack. And I would say final, because of the way it ends, it's kind of like, GG, good luck, have fun. We look forward to seeing you out on the battlefield. Not even a mention of, like, we look forward to telling more stories. Or it was just, it's...
Yeah,
it was satisfying, but you know, it was just kind of depressing also to see them. I don't know. It's not. I wouldn't say it's confirmation, but it's still like, ugh, you know.
Well, they have said that they are expecting to continue with mission packs at least when they introduced them. That's what they said. So this was, I guess, BlizzCon last year was when they started with these mission packs. Yeah. So, I mean, and they said that they plan to continue to support StarCraft II. They weren't giving up on it. They were going to keep developing for it. Cool. And the way they were going to keep developing was these mission packs. So I feel like there's still a large enough player population to support continued development for StarCraft. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would be interesting to know, like, how many people are actually playing this content. But we did know, I think, that Nova was only supposed to get three. And then, like, if we got any mission packs beyond that, it was going to be like different characters, different stories, all the rest of it. So I mean, I can see Nova being kind of an experiment almost. I mean, she's in Heroes of the Storm. She's a popular character. A lot of people know her now, so she's a good go-to StarCraft character that we haven't heard a whole lot about yet. I mean, obviously there's, you know, Manx, and there's Kerrigan, and there's Raynor and Tychus, and, you know, like, but we've seen their stories through StarCraft II. Her Nova was always this, like, kind of peripheral character.
Yeah.
So I would like to see other stuff. I think it was, is it Tash or Tosh or something? The other ghost guy that was actually on the ship with you. I feel like missions with him would be really cool.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of like the, do you trust him? Do you not trust him? Like, he was a ghost, but now he's not. He's, like, gone rogue. And, you know, like, all that kind of storyline, I think, could be really interesting, seeing a little bit of his backstory, because we don't really see a lot. So I think there's still a lot of space for them to explore with these mission packs. Although I say that, and I am one of the people who never played it, so maybe I should actually go in and play them.
Yeah, I mean, just there's definitely...
To express interest. And yeah, Jim is saying in the chat room, Gabriel Tosh. Yeah, so it was Tosh. But yeah, I would love to see. Obviously, I don't want to see Blizzard give up on StarCraft, because I think it's such a cool universe, and I think they tell a really good space story. So I'd like to see them continue in one way, shape, or form. I know we're probably not going to get a StarCraft 3, but or at least it won't be an RTS the way that previous iterations of StarCraft have been.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're going to do more mission packs. I think this is a solid delivery mechanism for more content. I did notice that as they went forward, they kind of ditched the sort of ship mechanic where you could go on the ship and talk to your... I think you could... It's sort of, again, like, I'm trying to remember Mission Pack 1, because this is content spread over a year. And I'm pretty sure in Pack 1, there was you had the ability to go on your ship and sort of do that little click on people, hear some dialogue. It wasn't a whole lot of stuff, but it would sometimes unveil, like, secret, you know, cinematics and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they don't have that in 2 and 3. Now, again, I might be misremembering it, because it's been, like, 8 months since I played Pack 1. But in Pack 3, it sort of feels like they... maybe some would see it in a good light. They streamline the content. So you are presented with the mission screen and you get the talking heads and you kind of get to review and pick your powers. And then you jump into the mission. And that's rinse, repeat, keep moving. Mm-hmm. And they're very great missions. They're not anything to write home about, but they're not the worst StarCraft missions ever created. They're just kind of like, this is a StarCraft mission. And you better like hero mechanics because you are playing as Nova in right. pretty much all of them while micromanaging a base mm-hmm. in a few of them. Usually two out of the three missions involve you having a Terran base that you're working with. So it's more Terran missions, which is a lot of fun.
Which makes me think that since she is strictly Terran missions, that they probably are going to do one Zerg and one Protoss.
It would be nice.
Like, character.
Yeah, and in the story, like there is stuff to spoil, and I'm not going to spoil it. But it's not like I wouldn't call it world changing. They sort of create a problem and wrap it up. So it is a contained story, which is very nice considering we don't know when they're going to be giving us more content. So it's nice to know that you're given a product that is like beginning, middle, end. And I think it's a nice cohesive story that they tell and still leaves some tangling bits to know that there's still more story to be told mm-hmm. in StarCraft. And it brings in factions of, you know, the Zerg, the Protoss back into the game in a meaningful way that you know, that works out quite well. You're reintroduced to two characters that like what's the guy's name? Alakazam? No. What's the Protoss guy? Alcaraz.
The Protoss guy.
The evil one, the red one.
Was he just added to
Heroes of the Storm? Yeah, he's from Legacy of the Void. And yeah, he just got added to Heroes of the Storm. Albatross. No. Al, I bet you it doesn't even start with Al. It's like
Alarak.
Alarak. I told you it was Al. And then,
Jim.
Thank you, Alarak. We were going to go all night if you didn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Alarak, it shows up. You know, Zerg show up. And the reason they show up is actually a really cool way to sort of address the fact that it's been... Jimmy, I know it's a bird, but it's a Protoss, and it could totally be called Albatross. I think that would be badass. So they reintroduce those factions in a way that doesn't sort of make you have to ignore the trilogy that you just finished playing and the giant shitstorm you went through to kind of solve that problem. They bring those factions back in a warring way that is kind of a neat touch. And I won't say much more, but like, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And for $15 to continue that story in that universe, it's totally worth the price of admission.
Do you think that it like lost any of its impact given that it was spread over like the seasonal release type episodic stuff that we've talked about before as being a shitty pile of crap?
Yeah.
Did it lose something by being spread out, or were you like, oh, yay, anticipation. I can't wait for the next one to come.
The story isn't so complex or so, I guess, it's not bad, but it's certainly not like, oh, what's going to happen on the next episode of Nova Covert Ops? You never say anything like that when you finish. It's kind of just like, that was cool. Three missions, moving on to the next segment of the story. Mm. And there are like mini cliffhangers, but, honestly, anybody listening to this who hasn't played them yet doesn't have to worry about this anymore unless they want to artificially wait 4 months between playing.
But that would be silly.
I don't recommend that because you're right. Like, as is the situation with all episodic content, it's just not my preferred way to play games. Mm-hmm. Although I craved StarCraft so much that I wanted to get in on this. And it's not the preferred way to play it. And it honestly may have caused anguish while playing because it's like I don't remember what happened four months ago.
The thing, if you're away from a game specifically like StarCraft for multiple, even I found when I had my hard drive crash, when I went away from StarCraft and came back like a week later, I was just like, okay, wait, now how do I do all this stuff again?
Yeah.
And it's so complicated. It was really difficult to jump in and jump out of a game like StarCraft. So I feel like if you're coming back to it once every 4 months to play Nova, that might have made your experience not as exciting, because I find it always takes me out of it when I have to worry about game mechanics. Mm-hmm. Like if I haven't been playing something for a really long time, it gets the same way in WoW if I'm switching characters too much or whatever. But yeah, if I'm out of that mindset of that character in that game, then coming back to it is always difficult. So I feel like that might have worked against it. But like you mentioned, for $15 right now, you can go and pick up all three mission packs for Nova and play. So it's 9 missions altogether or 10 missions?
It's 9 missions, but there are some two-part missions with some unique mechanics that you don't get in the main game. So I'd say it's probably like a safe bet at like a third of a StarCraft campaign. And I'm talking about, I guess, a third of a third now, considering they split it into three already. But,
I knew what you mean.
It's a solid play, and for $15 and the way Blizzard prices their things, like, you should be ecstatic that this does not cost you $25.
I'm surprised that it's only $15. It's basically $5 for each mission pack, so that sounds like a fantastic deal to me. Mm-hmm. The other thing that was a fantastic deal to me, it was Planet Coaster. I actually got it on Black Friday, and it is a lot of fun. It is probably the first simulation game that I can remember actually pulling me in for multiple sessions. And I'm not talking about turn-based strategy, because that's what Civ is, and obviously Civ can suck me in for days on end. But Planet Coaster is basically like Roller Coaster Tycoon, except for like updated for, you know, a complexity and graphics that would be expected today. So man, I am having a really, really good time in this game. I've started a campaign or a career, and that's my only kind of like sticking point, I guess, is that once you finish one park and like complete all the goals, because you have to go through like bronze, gold, silver goals, and gold goals, once you go through all of those, it doesn't like automatically say, huzzah, you're done. Like, you get like a notification saying you finished, but then it doesn't automatically load like the next challenge. So it took me a while. Like, I played through last night, and I finished all the way up to gold in the first pirate challenge, and then I came back to it today and I wanted to play more, and so I ended up playing probably a good like hour in the first pirate challenge, and I was like, when is this gonna switch me over? Like, am I missing an objective, or like, did I not click the right thing, or, you know, what do I need to do here? And then finally I realized I just had to like save and go back to the main menu and then click on career again and like go through all the same menu options, but then like choose the next park. So that I found was a little bit kind of convoluted. Like, I wish that I had been able to just progress like straight, like seamlessly through a career instead of having to like save and go all the way out and all the way back in again. That was a little bit of a janky UI choice, but other than that, like, I've really, really been enjoying, like, you can design your park, like, you can change your terrain, you can you can build all of your own like props and scenery and stuff, and like, it's really, really detailed. And then like, not to mention, you can actually change the coasters. So, like, when you, or like, customize all of your rides. So, you can change colors and stuff. You can change the music. You can change, like, you can add different features like pyrotechnics and water. And then, like, you can add events on your track so that when people go by a certain spot on the track, it'll trigger like the pyrotechnics and stuff. It's really cool. Yeah, dude, it is so customizable. You can say, like, I want this to last for 3 seconds after the trigger, or 2.5 seconds. Like, it's infinitely customizable with all the things that you can do. And I've been having so much fun. And so far I've only gone and done, cause there's a bunch of different modes, but I've been playing in career mode.
Right.
And so I've only had the pirate challenges so far, but there's so many, there's like, the pirate theme, like a fairy tale theme, and then like a space theme. So I've only like basically like dipped my toe into the pirate theme, and I've still had hours and hours and hours of gameplay. So it's so much fun. You can manage all of your like staff members and like tell them, like train them up. They start as trainees and they can go all the way up to experts, and like, oh man, it's just the amount of things there are to manage is fun and entertaining and makes it feel like you're doing a lot without being overwhelming, which is, I think, really important.
Yeah, and the thing that gets me excited about this game is that there's a campaign, like a campaign structure that you can do. Now, of course, there's probably like a free play where you just create.
Yeah, there is a free play, like sandbox type of a mode too, yeah.
Right, and, you know, Syrian 59 in the chat room is asking the real questions, the tough
this
ones.
This is the exact same question that Matt asked me, by the way, when I said you can edit roller coasters.
Right.
Yeah, so the question in the chat room is, can you remove part of a track and send people flying into the air? I have not tried that yet. I am not crazy, and, like, I'm not this crazy sim killer that you all think that I am.
Yeah, you're thinking about me. I would probably not want to do that. I already don't like roller coasters, and me inflicting the reality of my fear upon even fake sim-type creatures sounds... like a hell that I do not want to visit. So I think that you should not be able to do that. I mean, a question along those
lines.
I'm
literally going to open it right now and try and see
if
I can do it. Because apparently everyone wants to know if you can do this. So
top men are, and top women are asking these questions, and they need the answers. But I am curious, though, can you design sort of not even a malfunctioning ride, but a ride that is designed in a way that puts people off and actually damages either the reputation or the...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So when I was talking about designing your roller coasters have three different measures, or well, mm-hmm. actually all your rides have three different measures. They have excitement, fear, and nausea. So basically, if you make your ride with too many ups and downs right in a row, then people are going to get sick. And then that makes like more things for people for your maintenance people to clean up. Less people are going to want to ride your rides. Like each of those three things, like excitement, you want it always at the top. Fear, you want it kind of in the middle. So people are like afraid, but not like crazy afraid. And then you want like your nausea to be like down at the bottom, like low as possible. So it's really cool to try to balance that kind of stuff. And so you can take all of the like pillars on your roller coasters and you can make them higher or lower. You can add more curves. You can add loops. Like they give you a base finished roller coaster with like a start and an end, and it's got acceptable values and everything else. Or like you can say you can do the like free play kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Cool. I just unlocked a whole bunch of stuff when I logged back in. I got a whole bunch of achievements. But
so does it process while you're not playing the game? Is it a continuously running sim? Or because it sounds like if you unlocked a bunch of achievements, like that thing's computing time differences between visits.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Because you have like set save points and stuff. But so there's a career mode, there's a sandbox mode, and there's a challenge mode. So basically challenge mode is similar to career mode, but you need to be really careful with your money. Like right now, people aren't really complaining too much about like the cost to enter the park or anything. But in challenge mode, it's going to be really, really hard and you have very limited options. And so your growth is like slower and stuff like that. So, so career mode, I'm going to resume. See if I can actually kill people. Because
now are people seeing this? That's what the you know,
people. No, people can't actually see it. My capture card is broken.
Oh right. We talked about this already. So while you're doing that and possibly sending Sims to their doom, Jimmy in the chat room is kind of comparing it to City Skylines, and I have seen sort of that analogy made where people are like, think of City Skylines as to the Sims, which Planet Coaster is to Roller Coaster Tycoon. And I never played any of those games, any of the the Sim Coaster games. Now, does that mean this is the title for me to actually try? Because I always see Roller Coaster Tycoon on sale, whether it's, I don't know which version it is. And I know they came out with a couple of them on Xbox One and PC.
I should have loaded up a different one. This is the one I just started, so it doesn't have a roller coaster.
Oh, what do you have? Just like one of the teacups? Like seriously, we're expanding.
No, although the teacups was the first thing I built. I have the like the zip thing that I think it's called the zipper, where like there's two people in these little cars and they hang by the two things on this like two like dowel things on the side. And then, so your car, like, will flip around, but then the whole ride also flips, so you get this weird, like, vomit-inducing.
Yeah, it's like you're in a capsule, I guess? Or maybe...
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I don't want to go in one of those again. I have been in one, and I felt like I was going to fall out. That's the worst part about roller coasters, is being a bigger guy. I always feel like, guys, this doesn't feel secure. Like, I feel sort of, like, locked in, like, a couple more notches. Can I, like, have someone double? Because there's people, like, you go to the fair, and it's been on for, like, a weekend. It's Sunday.
Yeah, they and it's like, care. It's not there on Friday, but then somehow it's totally fine to go on Saturday, and you're kind of like, I don't know about this.
Well, I'm more thinking of the lines that these people have been, the carnies are, that's even worse, the folks who run the festival of some kind have been there all weekend, and they have been, like, strapping people in all weekend. I just feel like, I always feel self-conscious about, like, I know the thing isn't going to fly open and I'm going to fly out. Like, that's not realistic. But I always get a sense of, this is not going to go good. That's why I don't really like roller coasters. But I feel like a video game about it would be really cool to kind of check out. And if it's anything like City Skylines and its ability to create a proper Sims game, this sounds pretty cool. Now, is there any sort of, like, leaderboards that you can compare your park performance to somebody else?
You can upload all of your, like, park creations, all of your rides, your park as a whole. Like, all of that stuff is available to be uploaded. And then you can see any of your Steam friends, like, on the world. Because there's, like, a big globe when you log in. And you can, like, make a little avatar. So your avatar dude's, like, standing on the globe. And so anything that you choose to upload is available, and other people can download it and play with it and tweak it. And It's really built on this whole, like, sharing kind of mentality. I'm not 100% sure if there's actually a leaderboard, because there isn't really anything to necessarily lead in. Like, you either complete the scenario or you don't. So, I mean, I guess you could just have, like, a who has the most money leaderboard, but, but yeah, so, okay, so I have now, okay, I'm done editing. See if this actually will work.
Okay, drum roll, please.
Stop test, start test. I feel so terrible.
It's fine, it's not for science.
I don't think it's gonna let me test.
You don't have, like, test dummies you can throw at it?
There's literally people, like, up in the middle of the air, because apparently I deleted their car by accident.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or, like, I deleted the cart on the ride that they were in. Yeah, by deleting the track underneath them. So they're just kind of... Oh, wait, hang on. No, wait, it's paused. Okay, it's now unpaused. So, test. So
people are just going to...
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where this goes.
Yeah. I don't think it's gonna go, because the track's not complete. There's people walking away from the platform.
Oh, you just pissed them off. Bad form.
Yeah, I don't think that it'll test with an incomplete track. So I'm sorry, guys. It's impossible to murder people in this game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I know that's really disappointing. Oh, wait. Oh, no. There's the maintenance dude.
He's coming to see what's up. Yeah, there seems to be a missing part to your track. That might be the cause of your problem. Yeah, what's wrong with you? Honestly.
Oh, man. But yeah, so apparently, no, you can't actually kill the Sims in Planet Coaster. But yeah, I will say that it's really, really fun. And I think if you've never played Roller Coaster Tycoon, it might be, like, I skipped all the tutorial stuff. I can't really speak to that experience, but it's worth picking up, because it's a lot of fun. And personally, like, I was kind of burnt out. I got City Skylines, but I never really played too much of it. I haven't had a sim game really, like, give me the experience I'm looking for, which is just, like, immersive, I guess. Like, I really care about what's going on, and I really want to do well in this game. And I found the controls mostly intuitive. I found with City Skylines, I was always like, oh my God, like this is not working the way that I feel like it should work. And I couldn't like get electricity to my people properly. Mm. And like, I just felt like I was constantly like bashing my head up against a wall with that game to the point that it wasn't fun and I stopped playing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that SimCity was good, because we all know that that was a total and utter shit show. Original SimCity was awesome. SimCity 2000 was great too. But yeah, the newest SimCity was just awful. But yeah, with City Skylines, I could never get into it because nothing was intuitive to me. In Planet Coaster, I feel like they basically just said like, all right, well, how do you do things in all of these other games? Let's just use that same control set and we'll put our own like spin and we'll make our own mechanics behind things and we'll let you basically customize and edit everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like we're not going to mess with a intuitive control set just for the sake of messing with it and making it our own. So yeah. I really appreciate that. So yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. And it was, I think I got it for $50. I think it was a regular 60. It only just came out. It's only been out for about a week. So it's a brand new title. So it was the fact that it was even on sale at all was amazing. Thank you, Black Friday. but yeah, it's really great. So it's not quite. And when I'm talking about $50 and $60, I'm talking about Canadian. So American, it's probably cheaper. But yeah, definitely check it out if you like simulations, if you like Roller Coaster Tycoon or The Sims or any of that kind of stuff. I really think that you'll like Planet Coaster. I would definitely pick it up.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it making the rounds, and it sounds like something I'll definitely be adding to my wish list and maybe checking out around the holiday sale when I have more time.
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard of it until it came up. I think it was in my like discovery queue or something, because there was like 7 or 8 people on my friends list on Steam that already had it and were playing it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, what is this? And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, wow. First of all, it's brand new. And second of all, it looks like Roller Coaster Tycoon. And, you know, like, this is amazing. Yeah. I used to love that game. So you can even, like, I mean, it's got everything. It's got a lot of the same stuff as Roller Coaster Tycoon. So if cool. That was interesting to you guys, then definitely grab it. So I also just wanted to remind you guys that you can go to etch.amove.tv or shirts.amove.tv to pick up swag from your favorite shows, including Into the Nexus, The Angry Chicken, and, of course, The Gamers Inn. So, yeah, we've got all kinds of pint glasses, wine glasses, coffee mugs, all that kind of stuff is at etch.amove.tv. And our t-shirts are over at shirts.amove.tv. So go and check those out. We have another odds and ends week. This week we've got Nintendo doing the teasiest of teases when it comes to their plans for Universal Park. So obviously we knew that they were partnering together, but we had a 1 minute 20 video that was basically Nintendo and Universal talking about how exactly they saw like the vision for the park. And in the background, you can see things like a spinning coin over top of a yellow question mark block. You can see some of the like music note white kind of bouncy bumper things with like snow on top of them. So it's kind of like almost like as if they were sitting in front of concept art.
Yeah, but like
they're actually like the built like assets, but it's very much like little glimpses into what a Universal Nintendo theme park may look like. So Ryan, what are your initial reactions to this video?
They dropped it by surprise. So this sort of like popped up on my feeds. I think it may have been Monday or yesterday, even maybe. I can't remember, but it just sort of like, boop, it was there. And it's not anything to write home about, but it's nice that from a company that normally will announce things and either it will quietly go away or it will just quietly reappear, usually at a big press conference or something. But to see like a YouTube video come out and be like, just checking in, you know, theme parks take a lot of time. We are still working on this.
We're doing stuff, guys. We promise.
Yeah. And it's nice to see that check-in and something you wouldn't normally see from either Nintendo or Universal. But there was a, you know, I felt the concept art sort of background was a nice touch, but them not at all addressing it was really weird to me. Like even to say like, see that coin back there? Yeah, they're going to look like that because, you know, we didn't just make that for this video. but you know, it was just Miyamoto and, you know, average white guy just talking about theme parks and being like, you know, we're just, you know, it was totally just one of those, like, if I picked him out of a crowd, there was a crowd of people, and it was like, pick the theme park CEO. It's like, it's that guy, that old white dude who talks like that. And yeah, I just, yeah, sure, it's coming. There was actually more information in the press release where it was like, you know, we're doing all three parks. They will open separately over the next several years. You know, each Universal theme park will announce details separately as well, and with specific Nintendo information, the first of which is coming soon. So we might get something in the early year, maybe, of some note. But there's no, like, if you watch the video, it's mostly Mario stuff, I believe. Like, I didn't see anything outside of that universe, did you?
No, it was all Mario stuff.
Yeah, so that's the other thing, too, is, like, they say this is a partnership between Nintendo and Universal, but are they leaning heavy on the Mario? Because there's a lot of other universes, like, Zelda seems like one you should definitely tap into.
And I thought that they did touch on that in the video. I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I was fairly certain that they said something along the lines of, like, Mario and his friends, or, like, the Nintendo universe is plural, or some. I feel like they alluded to the fact that it won't be just Mario, but even if it is just Mario, I feel like there's a lot of worlds to explore within that universe, and I'd be happy with that. I mean, it leaves room to expand, right? They could totally do something like what they've done with Harry Potter, which is split it over two parks and have the Hogwarts Express in between the two of them. I'm a huge fan of Universal Harry Potter, by the way.
I would go to Universal right now.
But they could do something like Mario Land in one park with some sort of like warp tube connector or something that takes you over to Zelda Land in the other park, and they could split it up that way too. I think there's a lot of room for them to kind of expand and do just so many. There's so many different ideas and concepts I have in my head that I feel like this is going to be great, and I have the utmost of faith in Universal because of how amazing Harry Potter World is. So
yeah. If there isn't,
really can't go wrong.
Well, that's good. I'm glad, because I have not been to Harry Potter Land, and I've heard great things. And I think this would be the major attraction. Like, knowing that this is coming to Universal and to, you know, the Hollywood and Orlando Studios parks, it's like, well, I really don't have a reason to go to the, unless I hear Harry Potter's great and I should check out Harry Potter, and it's not like it's a multi-day thing if you want to do more than one park. But I feel like, yeah, I would beeline it for Universal once they have launched some portion of this to kind of check it out. And I mean, by the time it launches,
I want to go like opening day. Like, I am flying to Florida and I am experiencing Nintendo Land, whatever it ends up being called, like day one.
Well,
even if it's called, can you imagine if it's called like Mario World? I'm losing my shit already, Ryan.
I think whatever they call it, whatever they create, like the coolest thing for me, I think, is that when this launches, it's a few years out. Because again, it takes time to do this stuff. But you know, Caden will be of an age where he'll be able to appreciate this stuff, and I can be like, dude, if I was your age and I got to see Mario, I would lose my shit. So you better lose your shit, because this is expensive. You know, and I think he'll appreciate.
Get excited, child.
Yeah, get excited. Don't cry because that Goomba's coming after you. Let's go. It's gonna be great. But if they don't have like a warp pipe elevator to take you down to the underground world, I think that's a missed opportunity. There's got to be like a choo-choo-choo-choo, and it changes the music to the underground. Yeah, it would be really cool. But I feel like
we could totally build. Maybe in friggin', what's it even called? Planet Coaster. We could build Super Mario World, and it would be amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. That's what we should try to do.
We should have like one sandbox world that is just like Nintendo Land as we see it. And we should then send that to Nintendo and be like, here, we did this. Make this, please.
Yeah, that's I would love to see that. And honestly, my only concern, and I know this is going to be a concern for everybody, is that because they have three parks, like, I'm not so worried about Hollywood and Orlando. Like, those are achievable places within our geographical area. But, you know, Japan might be a bit of a stretch. And I mean, it wouldn't be crazy to think they put the greatest stuff at Japan, right? Because it's so close to Nintendo. But I don't know anything about the differences between the parks. I have heard
that. I think they did say that they were going to be different. Oh my God, what if they put like Mario in Japan and then they put like Zelda in Florida and then like, I don't know, what would the third one be?
I don't know. What does Hollywood get? They get Star Fox because who cares about Hollywood? What's a third rate Nintendo? Like I'm just kidding, of course. Like you're talking to the Nintendo fan, but I think that if they were to split the three, like you got your two big ones, which is Zelda and Mario. What's your third? Like Kirby? You could go like super low rent and do a like Kirby's great, but like a theme park based around Kirby would be a little.
Kirby's epic yarn was pretty epic, dude.
What about you got Kirby? You got Metroid. Metroid would be really cool. You could do a really cool like.
I feel 3D. Like it would have to be a space one. You've got your kind of like cartoony fun one. You've got your fantasy one. I feel mm-hmm. like you have to do a space one.
Well, I think you either do, you could do maybe a combo Metroid Star Fox, you know, because they could technically exist. They both exist in space and they have aliens and such. One is more kiddie and one's more mature. So you'd get that age range. So maybe give that one to Japan so I don't have to necessarily worry about it. And Dragger AZ is saying Donkey Kong. Now, I don't want to sound like a Nintendo aficionado here, but Donkey Kong is technically part of the Mario universe. It's okay. I forgive you.
Oh, man. But Donkey Kong could definitely have his own, like, jungle-themed theme park. Oh, that'd be so cool.
Donkey Kong Country sort of exists within its own weird realm, and then they create a bunch of, like, different Kongs and throw barrels and stuff. Like, you could do that. That would be... Yeah. Stretch, but yeah, you could do that.
Donkey Kong Country on 64 was pretty amazing. So there's a lot to work with there. There's a lot of mechanics you get like exploded out of barrels and stuff. Like man, those could be super cool rides.
I will stand by you and say Donkey Kong 64 is one of my favorite N64 games, and a lot of people will call bull on that. But you know what? I stand by.
I liked it. I liked it too. Many times.
Yeah, it was the huge adventure one. It was basically like Banjo-Kazooie mixed with Super Mario. It was Rare's like huge adventure game, and they introduced more than just Diddy and Donkey Kong, and it was like this is great. So
it was the whole Kong family. It was great.
Yeah, there's a whole rap that people still like quote these days. I don't. But
but it was a thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a thing. The expansion pack. Oh man. Yeah. Good times.
Nostalgia. So anyways, yes, we are very much looking forward to whatever Nintendo and Universal have in store for us over the next few years. But yeah, we've got, speaking of what people have in store for us, we thought it might be years, but it turns out it's freaking tomorrow. We have a new Hearthstone expansion launching December 1st. That information was dropped earlier this week on a stream with one of the game developers, a senior game developer, and I think his first name's Mike, and I'm totally blanking on his last name, and Hearthstone personality Frodan were doing the stream, and Frodan happened to just say, oh, hey, so can we get a launch date? And he's like, yeah, December 1st. And everyone kind of went, wait, what?
Wow.
So, yeah, the Mean Streets of Gadgetzan is launching tomorrow at time TBD. We have no idea what time it's actually going to launch, but you still have basically probably like 12-ish more hours to get your pre-orders in. But PSA, if you live in a country like, say, Canada, it is actually cheaper not to pre-order because your pre-order is going to be 50 packs for $50, and those are American dollars, and you can actually get a better deal if you buy through the client once the game actually launches because of that pesky exchange rate. So make sure you are checking the cost of the pre-order and the number of packs you're getting versus your local currency in client before you actually make the pre-order, and make sure that you are getting the best value for your dollars. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's some really cool mechanics. I think they've done a really good job this time around with theming around their three basically like factions that they've created in Hearthstone. So
yeah,
this is our last expansion of 2016. Nothing is rotating out right now. Nothing is going to rotate out until the first expansion of 2017, at which point all of the 2015 cards will no longer be will no longer work in standard. They won't be included in the standard set. But yeah, that is not happening yet. That is happening in spring 2017. So yeah, this is basically the most cards that we're ever going to have in standard. So I'm excited. It's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how people sort of what they do with the new cards, because that's always the most interesting thing to me is seeing the stories of how people use these new cards, and that aspect is certainly going to be alive. Like, I don't know a whole lot about the expansion, but are we going to see that? Are we going to see some? Is there a lot of wiggle room there with the cards they're introducing, or is
there
it just
are
another?
There's a lot of new mechanics. They also introduced something called tri-class cards. So there are three different factions, and three classes make up each faction. So you've got like a priest, warlocks, and mages that make up the Cabal, for example. So there are cards that you can use in priest, mage, and warlock that mm-hmm. you can't use in the other six classes. So they're like neutral cards, but class cards at the same time. They're really cool. So there's that new mechanic, and then each faction, and so each set of three classes has their own kind of mechanic. So Cabal has potions, Jade Lotus summons jade golems, which are looking like they might be pretty insane. And then the Grimy Goons, which is the third faction, buffs minions, so like they buff a whole bunch of stuff in your hand and things. So you play a minion, it says like, give a random minion in your hand +2/+2.
Cool.
So they all have their own feel to them, and I think it's going to be a really interesting expansion. I'm not even 100% sure which one I'm going to go with, because the hunters are part of the Grimy Goons, which I don't agree with. I'm a hunter. I am not a goon, goddammit.
But are you so, grimy? Like, there's a,
I'm
like,
not
there's
grimy
two...
either.
Okay,
I'm
I just want to make sure.
Not grimy either.
Just want to make sure, because you never know. Some hunters. I mean, what was it? What was the deck? The hunter face hunter.
Hunter.
The dogs, like call the hounds.
I'll teach the hounds.
Yeah, that's pretty grimy, Jocelyn. It's pretty grimy.
Oh man.
You know I'm right, and I don't know a whole lot about Hearthstone, but you gotta admit that's pretty grimy.
That's not grimy. That's just good, solid Hearthstone, Ryan. But I think I might try a mage deck.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of a mage deck, but the Cabal have a really cool legendary called Kazakus, and he allows you to craft your own spell. So you play him, and then have you played since the Discover mechanic became a thing?
I have, yeah. I love that mechanic.
So basically you discover three times over. So the first discover that you do when you play him is you pick a mana cost, 1, 5, or 10. Then the second discover is basically you pick an ingredient to put in your potion, and it does different things based on what the mana cost is that you selected. Mm-hmm. So you can build your spell. It's very situational, and you can build your spell for what you need. And there's things like, you know, summoning and buffing your minions, to targeted removal, to freezing things, to AoE. Like, there's all kinds of different things. And because you have two levels of discover with him, you basically get two effects built into one spell. And then the amount of power in the spell is based on the mana cost that you chose at the beginning, 1, 5, or 10. So mm-hmm. you can choose something like, if you need to be able to cast it right now, then you can choose 1 mana. If you're mid game, you can choose 5. If you need a big finisher, you can choose 10. So it's going to be really interesting. And I think he's a really, really cool card. And so I think I might go and try and play something in the mage realm, or possibly even priest, because priest got some really powerful cards and they've been underpowered for a really long time. So I might go give priest a shot too, but we'll see. That is happening tomorrow. And if you guys are interested, on twitch.tv/amovetv, we are doing an episode of Angry Chicken tomorrow, whenever the expansion launches. We're going to be talking about all the cards we haven't had a chance to cover yet, which is actually about 30 of the cards that are remaining. Once we finish that, we're going to be doing our pack opening. So you guys will be able to watch all of us stream. That'll be at twitch.tv/willydillssf. twitch.tv/amovetv, and hopefully if my new capture card is hooked up and working, you will be able to watch my pack opening on twitch.tv/jossplays. And again, all of that, I can't give you times, unfortunately. It is just going to completely be whenever Hearthstone
afternoon
that they're going to when they're going to actually make everything go live. So keep your eyes open for that. That's basically what our day is looking like tomorrow. Is it's going to be a lot of Hearthstone.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people are looking forward to it, and so am I. So I'm always excited when new cards hit, because it always gives me an excuse to jump back in. So I will be checking this out. I'm not sure I'm going to pre-order, but I might pick up a couple cards, because I just like the theme of it, just like the Old Gods expansion. I just really loved sort of... Are they doing like a launch thing like they did for Old Gods, or do we know that?
What do you mean, launch thing?
Well, what am I trying to...
There was a stream earlier this week.
Or am I thinking of something different? Wasn't there like a... You get a pack and you get a bunch of gods or something, and old gods?
So no, they're not doing that this time. Oh. There isn't even, and this is something people have been complaining about, there isn't even like a card back for a pre-order, so...
What is going on, Blizzard?
I know, yeah. And you can't pre-order from the client. You actually have to go to the Battle.net store website, so...
Yeah, that's, yeah, as soon as you mentioned that, and as soon as I was like, where's the pre-order? I don't see it. It's usually plastered all over in-game. Maybe that's to do with the currency exchange, because, yeah, that's
but the only thing. They've always done it that way in the past, though. They've always enabled purchasing, even pre-purchasing, within the client. So
yeah.
I don't know what the problem is, but one way or another, you can't actually pre-purchase in the client. So, but like I said, especially for us Canadians, it's better to just wait until tomorrow, wait until the expansion goes live, especially since there's no card back. There really is no bonus to going early, like doing stuff early, because I think the highest is it 50 or 60 packs for $70 or something for us, and with the exchange rate, that's actually a better deal per pack than it is to go 50 packs for $50 American. So wait until the expansion goes live and then purchase the big card pack as soon as it goes live, and it'll be cheaper for you in the long run.
Cool.
But I think that's pretty much going to do it for us tonight, guys. We have run overtime slightly here, so
got
to make sure. Yeah, I know. We had a lot to talk about tonight, and I think we had a lot of really good discussions. But if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersandpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, The Angry Chicken, Embrace the Spoilers, which this coming week is our very last episode of our spoilers on Westworld. The finale is this Sunday, so that's going to be probably like a 3-hour episode of Embrace the Spoilers. I don't know. We've been talking for about an hour and a half about hour-long episodes, so I can only assume we're going to be like 2 to 3 hours when we've got a 90-minute episode. Like, that's just math, guys. That's just math. And also check out For Azeroth, which is our Warcraft podcast with myself and Garrett. We pretty much split the time between news and lore. So if you guys liked the Embrace the Spoilers that we did about Legion lore, then make sure you check out For Azeroth, because we are doing all kinds of crazy lore talk on that show. Not just Legion stuff, but all the way back to, I think last week we did the Kirin tour, the week before we did basically the Titans and the formation of the universe and the betrayal by Sargeras. So there's lots of really cool lore in there if that's something that you guys are interested in. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know if you miss killing people in Roller Coaster Tycoon, and so you think that Planet Coaster is not the game for you, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Save the coasters.